Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for you this morning. We are going to talk about golf. That's right, golf. But with a twist, whenever an opportunity arises where our young people can engage in activity that provides for career advancement, networking opportunities, and be in proximity to successful people, it's a pleasure bringing that information to the airwaves. And this morning, I have a woman in the studio who has provided a nexus between the game of golf and an opportunity to meet some power brokers in various career fields. So this morning, we're talking about golf and networking here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland. On Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is Ashante Epps, founder and CEO of A Perfect Swing Incorporated, a foundation that assists individuals and the youth of all communities learn the game of golf and provide networking opportunities to advance their individual goals and careers. Ashante is a native of King Street, South Carolina, and resides in Charlotte. She currently works as an IT service management operations consultant for Microsoft Corporation and is a graduate of Lander University in Greenwood, South Carolina. Ashante is also the recipient of the African American Golfers Digest Leaders in Golf for Professional Service. She's also the chief operating officer for the Coalition for Teens Helping Teens and the vice president for Polish Pearls Leadership Seminars for Teen Girls. Ashante, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I am excited to talk with you. I had an opportunity to go on your website, and Olympia D from 105.3, my colleague here, she was telling me so much about you, and I said, I have to get this woman in the studio. So I'm glad you're here.
Awesome, awesome.
You know, of course, we're going to get into a lot of the things that you do, but I want your perspective on some things that are happening with our youth.
Okay.
As you know, just recently, there was some violence that erupted in Chicago during the 4th of July holiday weekend, and upward of 80 people were shot, 14 were killed. And it seems as if gun violence is plaguing many of our major cities and urban centers. Talk a little bit about what is happening with our youth, because here in Charlotte, there are major problems. And I understand that Salisbury has some major problems as well. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, and it's so sad to hear. And that is definitely an area that we need to focus on.
Yeah.
So I was a teenager myself that did not make those right decisions. And the thing that held me together was that my mother, she had that, one, that biblical foundation, and two, that belt foundation. She gave me that discipline. But, you know, she always, so she was a single mother raising five children on less than $10,000 a year.
Right, right.
And while she didn't have the money to provide everything for us, she always said that while she may not be able to give it to us, she'll find someone that could. Or she may not be able to help us with it. She might not be able to help us with calculus, but she'll find someone that will be able to help us with it.
Yeah.
And it's that drive and determination that she stood as an example for. And I think sometimes when it comes to parenting and life gets hard for us as the middle-aged parents, we're not exactly catering to that.
Yeah.
However, when we look at our youth, what we have to instill in them is that there is hope.
That's exactly right.
And that you're not, the situation that you're in, this is not going to dictate what your future is.
Mm-hmm.
But use that as an opportunity to prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I recall when I made a lot of the bad decisions in my life, it was one because I was angry about my situation.
Right, yeah.
I didn't feel like there was hope.
Yeah.
And I can recall when I understood that there was real hope and how my behavior did turn around.
Right, right.
And I think we have to get our youth involved early,
right,
in activities that will allow them to see that they do have a future.
Absolutely.
That there is a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
That education will get you where you want to go. Because
mm-hmm.
I recall when I graduated from high school, my guidance counselor told me that I should go to college, and I kind of laughed at him. Like, listen, I'm tired of the lights being cut off.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the water being cut off. I'm tired of turning the lights back on after they turn them off.
and listen, I've had that experience. There's no question about
right.
it.
And so with that, though, it's they have to understand that the youth have emotions. They have feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have to see those as real emotions, real feelings, and give them the right programs, whatever it is, that they can see that they do have a future, that
yeah.
they are.
And so, and really, the follow-up question is, how much is this attributable to instances of race, or is there a social construct that is beleaguering our community so much that they don't see beyond their own immediate situation?
I think it's social, because you can look at any race mm-hmm. or ethnic background
yeah.
when it comes to gang violence. You know, they can say it's majority black, but it's not. It,
yeah.
It's not just one race.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
black. It's Hispanic. It's Caucasian.
Right, right.
It's across the board,
yeah.
And I do think it's social.
Yeah.
There's just as much violence happening in the trailer park as it is happening in the hood.
But we don't see it as often.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
And it absolutely exists. And when we can, you know, our youth, when you look at these same ones that are shooting and fighting. They're the same ones that are the brilliant minds that can create new products for us.
Right.
They can be the next CEOs, because just because they think that they can talk their way out of a paper bag, right? That
yeah.
is a skill set that they should use for the good. And when they begin to change and turn those attributes that they have from using them from bad to using them for good, they can be our next presidents. They can be our next CEO. They
right.
can be our, you know, they can create an environment that we can be happy about.
Yeah.
But they have to see that.
Absolutely.
And that's the hard part.
Now, you are staunchly committed to young folks. Before we get into, again, specifics about Perfect Swing,
mm-hmm.
talk a little bit about why you've dedicated your life, your time, your resources to our young folks.
It's personal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone took the opportunity to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
God, and I get a little choked up every time I think about it.
Are you going to cry? You know, I was telling folks around here this week that I was watching a television program, and I sat there and I watched it, and all of a sudden tears started trickling down. So don't cry, because then you're going to have me crying.
Go ahead.
But it's just such a passion of mine, because I remember growing up wanting the best out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama telling me that I could get the best out of life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I grew up in Williamsburg County, mm-hmm. King Street, South Carolina. And we were, County 45, we were the poorest county in the state of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, education was always prominent, but that's not what I was always interested in.
Right.
Because I was always so focused on how I could help my family, education, you know, I alluded to sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So me and my sister, we played basketball. And when we were young, we always said that we were going to be the first women in the NBA. Because back then, there was no WNBA, right?
Right, right, right.
And so the thing that really broke my heart was one day I was playing, and I slid into a split, and my hip popped out. And I was devastated.
Okay.
I felt like my life was over.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because basketball was going to be my way out.
Right, right,
right. So I had to find an ulterior route, an alternative route.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I did was, it was at that point that I began to look at academics,
mm-hmm.
because I really didn't have any other options. But it was more so as a means to finish school
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and make my mom happy.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about college. I wasn't thinking about, you know, the next level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I got to high school and I began to interact with everyone else and see that there were people around me that were interested in going to college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like I told you before, my guidance counselor, you know, everyone gets their senior exit with the school counselor.
Yeah.
And I went in and she said, what's your goal? What do you want to do? And my answer is, I want to make some money so I can take care of me and my mama. Nothing else. For me, I could go to the mill, make $40,000 a year, take care of my mama, and I'm good.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I think you should go to college. You're smart, you're bright. And I was like, but I spent all this time in school already, and we're still broke, right? So I know the feelings that these youth have.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've done that, right? And I said, okay, it's a long shot. She's supposed to be the professional. So I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Guess what? I tried it. And then when I was in college, I thought about dropping out because the bills were still coming in. You know, more bills were coming in because I was in college. But, you know, my older sister, she started college 2 years before I did. And she said something to me that I hold dear to this day. She said, Shantae, you can struggle for the next 4 years and get a degree and then live comfortable for the rest of your life. Or you can go get a job and struggle for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know? So what I did, I took the struggle for the 4 years. And when I tell you, it absolutely paid off.
Oh, hallelujah.
I mean, resounding efforts. Like, I can't. I mean, it absolutely paid. I just cannot express the way everything fell through from, you know, or not even fell through, but actually came through.
When you had that injury, was that a serendipitous moment? Was that the moment where everything seemed to have come to a screeching halt and you said, you know what, I have to go this route. Was that that moment?
That was the screeching halt where I felt at my lowest.
Yeah.
Where I felt like it was all done and over with, and that I had to deal with the circumstances, and that I probably kind of felt like I would be in those same circumstances forever.
Just so that folks know that I'm listening, I mean, this is very emotional for you.
It is.
And it's touching me now. I mean, I don't have any Kleenex next to me, you know, but I certainly appreciate how you have dug deep to really reveal those particular moments, because it is emotional. And it is a situation where if people were to tap into those particular feelings and be honest,
yes,
you know, they can make a difference. Why is it such a powerful thing for you?
Because it's personal.
Yeah.
Because it's so personal, because I live that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I dedicate my time to you.
Yeah.
Because I understand those feelings. It's one thing for you to tell a child, you know what, it's going to be okay. But you've never walked in their shoes.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they can see that you haven't walked in their shoes, and they're not very receptive. For me, yes. Now, thank God, I have a master and a bachelor's in the computer science
area.
Praise
God.
So I'm there. So while I don't look like them, I can still associate with them.
Mm-hmm.
I can still relate to them, and they can assimilate with me. And when I say that, assimilate, meaning they can see that, one, I've been through that struggle. Two, I care. Three, they can walk in the same paths. They just have to put in the work.
Right.
And now, that's what it's all about.
And you mentioned your sister. How has your family responded to your success and even your drive to help other folks? How have they responded?
Oh, my God. My family is they're the best. You couldn't pick a better family if you chose it individually yourself.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest of five.
Mm-hmm.
So my older brothers are typical older brothers. They are Shantae's guardians, right? Anything I need, they are there for me. My sisters, the same way. I have an older sister that's a pastor, so she keeps me grounded in the word. My other sister, she's an entrepreneur as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're all there for me all the time. And I'm there for them.
Right, yeah.
And we're there for our nieces and nephews. We understand that without each other, we have nothing else.
Right.
And the other thing is that amongst all of us, so my mom passed away in 2003, but she left while, you know, we didn't have all the money in the world. Our love is priceless.
Right.
And the one thing that she taught us is to put God first in all of it.
Amen.
So no matter what we do, we can be out racing horses. My brother, he's a horseman. He's the real life horseman. So he could be out racing horses or, you know, doing pony rides for the kids, or we can be out playing golf, or we can be on the beach, all kinds of different things that's going on. But ultimately, we're putting family and God first.
Amen.
And I do have to mention this. So my my older sister, she and I started an organization called the Coalition for Teens Helping Teens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what we do is we do leadership seminars for teen girls. With that, what we're doing is, you know, there are those young girls like us that decide that we want to be successful, but they don't have all the resources and the tools that they need to be successful.
Right, yeah.
So we do leading by example workshops, personality assessments, presentation skills, all of those things to give them the small tools that they need to push them to that next level to be successful.
Right. Now, what I appreciate about Perfect Swing mm-hmm. is your efforts to teach young folks the game of golf and the mm-hmm. intricacies of how to become a good player. Talk a little bit about that.
So with golf and with the Perfect Swing Foundation, we're looking at the total person, but we're using golf as a tool. So when you set up and on the ball, that's just pretty much kind of your approach. You're looking at your hands. You're looking at, you know, what club you're using based on how far you have to go, mm-hmm. all of that good stuff. And impact is where the club hits the ball.
Right, right.
Well, what we're looking at is impact. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We want to know when your impact is, whatever it is, whatever area of that impact, whether it's school, impact for school, impact for work, impact for the SAT, impact for college, impact for life, impact for peer pressure, that you're prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're teaching them the fundamentals of the game, but at that impact, before that impact, you have to have a backswing.
Right.
And that backswing is how you prepare for the impact. So through golf, teaching them to play golf, mm-hmm. we want to also help them with their backswing. Mm-hmm. That backswing to golf in their life, networking skills, mm-hmm. communication skills, mm-hmm. leadership skills. So we're absolutely going to teach you how to play golf, but as you begin to play, you're gonna have to communicate with individuals.
That's
so you're
right.
gonna strengthen your communication skills.
Right.
You're gonna get an opportunity to network with people that you would not ordinarily get a chance to network with.
Yeah.
And we want you to be ready. So we're gonna prepare you to do that. Also, there are tons of scholarships available. Mm-hmm. If your backswing is gonna lead you to impact for college, what about college scholarships in golf? Mm-hmm. Tons of scholarships there. The Olympics is adding golf as a sport in 2016, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The sport is large. Scholarships are available. And so not just scholarships, but you may want to play professionally.
Yeah.
You may want to play in high school as a means of being active, something to be proud of. Golf gives you so many different opportunities. But inside just that sport, you can learn so many other lifelong tools
right.
that will help you be successful.
Absolutely. Now everyone will become a Tiger Woods, obviously. But I want to know, in terms of the program itself, will it help someone become a professional golfer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And why I say yes is because we have several professionals that we deal with as well. I've had an opportunity myself just to study under the mentorship of Linda Gochum from Leatherman, mm-hmm. Rodney Green from Rodney Green Golf. He does the Steve Harvey mentoring camp. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different other professional areas that we can reference individuals out to.
Yeah,
so when
yeah.
you come to us, if you're serious about it, you're honing your networking, your communication skills, as well as your golf skills, mm-hmm. you absolutely have the opportunity for endless results.
Yeah, and interesting, what I think is so unique about the program is the networking opportunity. Why is it such an important component?
I think it's huge because just like to go to college and get a degree and you don't do an internship, all you have is a degree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with networking, you get an opportunity to make business and personal communication or interaction with individuals that can possibly change your life.
Right, right.
On the golf course, you're going to meet CEOs, you're going to meet managers, you're going to meet entrepreneurs, you're going to meet businessmen and women. You're going to meet a variety of people. Mm-hmm. They have jobs. And they're looking for our young talent.
Right, right.
They're looking for our young talent. And we want our young talent to be there to get those offers.
Right. Now, I was on your website, and you have photographs with Lawrence Taylor, Alonzo Mourning, Robert Townsend, folks with money.
Yeah.
I saw political analyst Jamal Simmons.
Uh-huh.
You have local leadership from Charlotte on your website as well. Are these the kinds of folks that participants in A Perfect Swing will have an opportunity to meet?
So through the various programs with A Perfect Swing, we will absolutely absolutely put you before those individuals. And there are various programs across the country that we're already participating in. So those individuals are the caliber of people that you meet at the various events.
Wow.
And we prepare you, solicit funding, and get you there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as you are aware, I know you're aware of this, Black-owned businesses still have a heavy lift in building a national infrastructure that would help our community transition from the consumer-based community to the ownership community. How does a Perfect Swings networking opportunities help folks to do that?
We have a lot of self-owned people that are looking to network and interact. And that networking piece is what's really heavy for us. Now, how a Perfect Swing helps with that is that we arrange playtime. You can be a beginner, an intermediate, or an advanced. Beginners are individuals that, you know and they kind of see that, hey, golf is where I can interact with people. Well, person A may be playing on Fridays, person B may be playing on Thursdays, and they may never meet. But with the Perfect Swing, we're looking to find all of those individuals and bring them together on it on one day. We have range practices where we bring people out just to exchange business cards and network. But also we have play days where we pair you up with people that are likely to have an impact on your particular business or your particular idea. A lot of people are talking about what they want to do. It's either 18 or 9. With 9 holes, you got 2 hours. that's a whole lot of time, lot of talking.
that's exactly right.
And
why this is so important to me, I heard a statistic that literally has been sticking with me for years, actually since 1992. And it really entails the circulation of the dollar. Because in the Jewish community, according to that statistic, the dollar will circulate 21 days before it leaves the community, and the Asian community circulates 17 days. In the Hispanic community, I understand it circulates 14 days. But in the Black community, the dollar only circulates 6 hours, and it's already outside of our community. So building that infrastructure is very important.
It absolutely is. And you know what? And the infrastructure is what is the most important.
Right.
Sometimes we as Black business owners, and while this isn't a Black or white thing, since you use those statistics, we don't trust other Black business owners. And no offense, but some of us do fall short with our responsibility as business owners.
That's true. I know that.
And it becomes a hustle. A business proposition is not, hey, what you think about this? Or, let me holler at you for a minute.
Now, we went from almost crying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I love this, man. You know, so but it's also about rebuilding the small business community.
Right.
Allowing us to say, listen, you are a good individual business owner, and I want to support you. You're trustworthy. You know, I can see your integrity on the course.
Right.
We're playing golf and you're you know, shaving points off of your score. I'm not doing any business with you.
That's exactly right.
But so it's a lot that you could tell about a person, but bringing professionals together is an opportunity for networking, keeping, especially with small businesses, keeping that circulation together.
Absolutely.
Keeping that circulation going. And it's all about trust, because I think a lot of that balls down to you feel like you're going to get hustled.
Now, interestingly, again, I was on your website. First of all, you have a beautiful website.
Thank
and you have so many folks with with money on the website. I just got to keep mentioning that. You know, you attach yourself with folks with money, it starts to rub off somehow. But in reading your website and even some of the information that you provided, and I just want to quote, you say playing sports is a huge morale boost and exercise benefit. Working with the Coalition for Teens and Helping Teens Incorporated, a Perfect Swing Foundation looks to introduce these and other students to the game of golf as a low-impact alternative sport. Playing golf will help boost their morale and get them moving. This will impact impact their overall health and wellness. Now, as I indicated before we started this interview, I live on a nice golf course community, but I do not know how to play golf. How do you transition or transform a martial arts enthusiast, as I am, into a golf pro?
Well, you know, what I'm going to tell you, golf is so awesome, and it's so different from all other sports, and that the swing, it's an abnormal swing. So you, as a martial artist, the fact that you can relax, you can, you're under control, you maintain that control, that's going to help you with golf.
Right, right.
You understand technique as opposed to power.
Right, right, right? Exactly.
And it's so funny when you go to the range and you see individuals, or even some of the youth that we have, you know, they played baseball, so they're like, oh man, I got this. Right,
right.
You put the golf club in their hand and they swing. You hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and come up with nothing but air.
Yeah, so again, right.
But it's the technique.
So as I was preparing for the interview, I was like, okay, I don't know what a birdie is. I don't know what a stroke is. Now, how I'm going to pose these questions. So what is a birdie? What is a stroke?
So a stroke is, it's just the simple swing of the golf club as you prepare to hit from your tee box or anywhere. But you start at the tee box. And every swing that you take in an effort to get your ball to the green and into the hole is a stroke.
Right.
So on every course, there's a scorecard that identifies the par for that course, for that hole. So they may say, okay, it should take you four strokes to get from the tee box to the ball in the hole. So that means that's a par four. Okay. Now, if you get it in three, it's a birdie. You know, you got it in one less.
You do realize.
One over is a bogey.
You do realize. You're talking way over my head.
But you know what the cool thing is?
Yeah.
We even do sessions that teach you that bit of information.
Right,
We even go through handicapping. You know, there are tournaments that you can legitimately win not being a scratch golfer. And a scratch golfer is meaning zero. If they say it should take you four shots, it's going to take you four shots.
Right. Now, we have just about 2 minutes left in the show. How many young folks are participating in the program right now?
So right now, we have over 50 students that has come through our program right now. And I mean, and the great thing is that we're getting them excited about the game of golf and teaching them some of those basic life lessons.
Right.
So if there is anyone that know of any youth that is interested at all in golf, or not even interested in golf, but maybe they can't play the basketball or football in high school because of some of those mild disabilities that they consider disabilities, like sickle cell or artificial limbs, even some ADHD. Give us a call. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Have them come out. Try out the sport. See if they like it. But it's definitely an area where we're looking to get more youth.
Right. Now, you have a networking event coming up August 1st through the 3rd in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Talk about that event and who should people expect to attend.
Awesome. So in Myrtle Beach, we have the Golf Networking Weekend, a Perfect Swing Golf Networking Weekend at the Legends Golf Course. Great, exciting weekend. We have youth coming. We have adults coming. Currently, we have individuals from North Carolina, South Carolina, those coming from as far as Houston, Texas, to join us as well. And it is an opportunity for you to network with other individuals like you. We have a programmer from Nassau that's starting his own business overseas, where he wants to do some sophistication with lighting for some of the Haitian countries. We have engineers, we have computer science, we even have a small group of our a Perfect Swing Foundation teens that are going to come as well. So there's a separate track, so it's available for adults and youth.
Okay, if people are interested in joining or signing up for a Perfect Swing, what steps should they take?
Go to our website at www.aperfectswing.net and send us an email, join our distribution list, or you can reach me directly at area code 704-883-9844. or you can send us an email to aperfectswing@outlook.com.
Ashante, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. It's
absolutely
been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Had a great time. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank Ashante Epps for sharing her personal journey and efforts to help young folks achieve their dreams and goals through the illustrious game of golf. Again, if you would like to reach out to Ashante for more information about A Perfect Swing, log on to her website, www.aperfectswing.net. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.